KC2GA from Whiskey 4 Radio Frequency Junkie.
Hello there, you old radio frequency junkie. KC2GA, how you doing?
I'm doing just finer than frog's hair. I let Gordon know, but I wanted to let you know that I caught wind that you were doing an Ask an Elmer thing, and I figured, you know, being as I'm elmed out most of the time, that I'd make myself available. But I just wanted to let you know I'm down here visiting my son and his family down in Snow Hill, Maryland. But I am connected, I am listening, and if something comes up you need my help with, do not hesitate to give me a shout. As a matter of fact, I'm going to twist my son's arm and make him check in anyway. How's that sound, Gary?
Well, that's exactly what a father should be doing. if I had my kid here, I'd be twisting his arm too. Sounds good. Enjoy the time with the family, and you know, of course, jump right in whenever you feel like it, and keep the ears open in case I call on you. Thanks.
My pleasure, Gary. You have fun there, and have a good net. Good to hear your voice finally after I don't know how many moons. 73 W4RFJ.
It has been many moons. 73.
Okay, all you South Cardians out there, this is Gordon, KY6V, just giving you a heads up. The net will be starting at the top of the hour. That's 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The subject tonight is the TIN covering Ask an Elmer. And it will be Elmered this evening by the one and only KC2GA out of Syracuse, New York, and his support family. So hope all you can make it. Come see us here when we get rolling in just a couple of minutes. KY6V clear.
I like this plan. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, excuse me, and all of those ships out at sea. This is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and good amateur practice. The SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such, and all stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at scarsvoip.com. That's S-C-A-R-S-V-O-I-P, all one word, .com. And your net control this evening will be Gary, Mr. Agnew up in Syracuse, New York. His call, KC2GA. I wonder how he got a call with his initials in it. Any rate, prior to starting, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time, and if so, would you call now, please? Okay, as we generally do before we start any of our net sections, sessions, and just following the preamble, we'd like to ask if anybody is celebrating anything today, birthdays, anniversaries, something special, either today or during the last week or this week coming. If so, we'd like to put you right up in front, pat your back, and say congrats. So anybody fall into those criteria? KY6V, over. Well, you know, Kathy always says, that's K6SUN, it's appearing here that nobody's getting any older, so we'll leave it at that. This is the monthly Thursday informational net, open forum, or TIN for short, and this net is conducted to provide information pursuant to the amateur-related subjects and or areas of general interest to those participating. And all are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. So, without further ado, let me pass the gavel to the man of the hour, KC2GA. Hi, Gary, KY6V. Over.
Hey, thank you, Gordon, and hello, everybody. Yeah, it took a while to get those calls. I had to try three times to get those. It's great to be here tonight, and greetings from Syracuse's beautiful outer Comstock section, where it's a balmy 50 degrees in Syracuse in February, but we are expecting to be dropping rapidly tonight, so I guess let's enjoy it while we can. We're doing Ask an Elmer tonight. It's always a lot of fun when we do this. Let me just kind of go over how it all works, okay? We'll start out by talking about some items of interest, and then we'll open things up for some general questions and answers about anything ham radio related. Now, when somebody has a question, we throw it out to those listening and see if we can get you an answer. If somebody has a comment about ham radio in general, we'll throw that out for the listeners for their take as well. It's questions, answers, opinions, all things about ham radio on Ask an Elmer. I'm just going to buy a nickel here for a minute. Now, one great thing about ham radio is the fact that there's something in this hobby for everybody. Now, everybody has a favorite mode, a band or bands. Folks like to work DX, do contests, work digital modes, or the original digital mode, CW. Now, people like to join in nets, too. Me, I love working DX on 20 and 17 meters, both voice and digitally. Locally, I do a little 2 and 440 and a very little 70 centimeters, but a couple of years ago, I really started getting into 6 meters. 6 meters? Yeah, it all started out when one group of hams here put up a 6-meter super repeater. It uses a modified TV broadcast antenna and has some very serious coverage area. Initial tests on this thing had us going out into Ohio and down well into Pennsylvania and up into Canada with this thing. It's a little bit less now since they did some modifications on the antenna, but it still covers most all of Central and Western New York. We regularly get check-ins from Rochester on this thing, so it's a beast. I started working the weekly net on this repeater and then joined in the afternet activities. A lot of others were doing the same thing, and the next thing you know, we have a very active 6-meter community going with our own Facebook page even, which is very handy for letting folks know when there's an opening. We're going to buy a nickel. So what's the attraction to 6 meters? I've heard hams say there's nothing there. To that I say there's plenty there if you put it there. Now, 6 meters is called the magic band. It's great for local fun and activity, and sometimes, out of the blue, literally, you can find yourself talking all the way around the world. Just last December, word got out on Facebook about an opening, and a bunch of us were working South America like it was local, right from our Syracuse shacks. It's a great band for seasoned hams and technicians alike. Remember, if you're a technician, you have full privileges on this band. So if it sounds intriguing, and it should, find out a little bit more about it. The 6-meter band is a portion of the VHF radio spectrum allocated for amateur radio use. Although located in the lower portion of the VHF band, it nonetheless occasionally displays propagation mechanisms characteristic of high-frequency bands. Again, we're going to let it rest for a minute here. Now, you'll normally see these propagation conditions at when we're close to sunspot maximum, when solar activity increases ionization levels in the upper atmosphere. During the last sunspot peak of 2005, worldwide 6-meter propagation occurred, making 6-meter communications as good as, or in some instances and locations, better than HF frequencies. Now, the prevalence of HF characteristics on this VHF band has inspired amateur operators to dub it the magic band. In the northern hemisphere, activity peaks from May through early August, when regular sporadic E propagation enables long-distance contacts up to 2,500 kilometers, that's 1,600 miles if you're non-metric like me, for a single hop propagation. Multiple hop sporadic E propagation allows intercontinental communications at distances up to 10,000 kilometers. That's a whopping 6,200 miles in the southern hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, sporadic E propagation is more common from November through early February. It's a terrific band. It gets freaky. I guess it's the only way you can put it. I guess you're working stations locally. You're just doing your thing, and the next thing you know, there's somebody in the background calling from South America or Europe or whatever, and it'll last for a minute. It can last all day. It's just totally unpredictable, other than just watching your propagation sites and hoping for the best. It does help to have a community that's interconnected, because you can catch that you can catch those little tips on what's happening and get on the air real fast, take advantage of it. So that's just a brief overview. We're going to go back to more about 6 meters, but right now I'd like to take some check-ins just to say hello, or maybe even let us know if you've dabbled into 6 meters. Let's find out what's happening. Check-ins right now as the TIN continues here on South Cars.
Romeo, Fox, Juliet, I'll start the ball rolling.
Well, that's good, because the crickets chirping were getting very loud. RFJ, come aboard.
Well, Gary, I've been a big fan of 6 meters. I like the antenna size. The propagation can be fanatic at best, but when you're communicating. When the band's open, you're communicating. When the band's closed, you're not communicating. And that's when you're talking about DX. But for local stuff, it's great. Actually, one of the projects I'm working on involves bringing up a packet station, part of a node stack I'm building. And I've got a 6-meter radio standing by to handle 1,200 baud packet. So there you have it. How's that for feedback? W4RFJ, good evening, South Cars family.
Well, that, sir, is some mighty fine feedback, and I wanted to, it's kind of interesting, because we here in Syracuse have this 6-meter addiction. I don't know, it's just got about 30 guys here that are just like really into sex, and we're doing everything on it. We've got 6-meter CW, we've got 6-meter AM, we have a regular 6-meter net on the repeater, we have an afternet on SSB. There's a lot of experimentation that's going on with it, and actually we're kind of still growing. So as you get more of that going, we've got more and more ideas coming through. So I know there's a lot of interest in working digital on 6 meters too. So it's a wonderful band for a lot of things, and you're right, for local you can't beat it. I much prefer 6 to 2 meters, that's for sure. I guess once you start using it, you really get hooked. It's very, very versatile. Anybody else out there want to check in at this point anyway? And before we go on, talk a little bit more about the Magic Band.
6, Victor.
Sierra Echo Zulu.
Romeo Foxtrot Juliet, recheck.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Golf Sierra November.
Mike Hotel Lima.
Well, there's a nice little group. Let me pick it right up with the recheck from RFJ. We'll go with that, and then we'll pick it up with 6, Victor. RFJ, come on aboard.
Gary, if you don't mind, put me at the bottom of the list. I got to hear what MHL has to say.
We can do that. Okay, you are at the bottom of the list, and we're going to pick it up now with the esteemed 6, Victor. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, esteemed potentate. KY6V here. I just have a short question. Nice group call in there, Gary, and hi to Paul. I'm glad he made it out of Danbury here tonight, too. I'm curious as to the repeater activity in Syracuse. You know, we have found over the last number of years that repeater activity has fallen off greatly, and it's all over the place. It's not just down here in Florida and throughout the whole state, but it's every state that I've talked with. Now, I know that you guys have got something special going, particularly with this 6-meter repeater installation into a commercial 6-meter TV antenna. I'll bet you that whistles Dixie. So maybe that increases, obviously, your footprint and the activity further out. But generally speaking, how about your 2-meter bands and your 440 repeaters? Are they slow? Can you go for hours and hours and hours without hearing anything? That seems to be the norm these days for whatever the reason. KY6V, over.
Well, I'll tell you, sir. We have a plethora of various repeaters here in the area. We are a very lucky area. One of the things, or one of the resources that we have here, we've got two very good radio associations here. And we have one gentleman in particular who has lent his technical expertise to the local area, not just for the repeaters that he has put up, but he's lent it to the two big radio clubs in the area here too. This guy is a broadcast engineer. That might sound familiar to some people listening. He is a broadcast engineer. Actually, he's the engineer for all three commercial stations here, and he was the guy that got a hold of the Channel 9 broadcast tower, broadcast antenna rather, when they went digital, the analog antenna, and he modified it for 6-meter use. Okay, so let me buy a nickel. So Kevin, this was Kevin's idea to put this 6-meter super repeater on the air, and it was very successful. But Kevin also operates a 2-meter repeater and a 220 repeater. So we have those, and they are very busy. We have both radio associations have 2-meter repeaters. We've got a couple of 70s that are pretty active, but I would say we're probably more active on the KD2SL 2-meter repeater than any of the other 2440 or 70s. They have some nets on those where you'll get maybe 40 or so check-ins every time around. But here's the thing. Here's the reason why. This part of the state has an interlinked repeater system. So the KD2SL repeaters join this New York State interlinked repeater system, and we've got coverage, you know, all over the place. You're going from past Utica to the east, all the way out to Rochester to the west, and we're well down into the southern tier too. So just between the footprint on that 6-meter repeater alone and the interlinking on the VHF repeaters, we've got a lot of coverage, so we're very busy here repeater-wise. There are repeaters that are very quiet, but on the ones that are hot, they're hot. Did that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, good show. Proud of you guys up there. You need to spread some of that technology a little further out so you can get some other groups doing the same thing. Thanks, Gary. KY6V.
You're welcome, sir. You know, I'll tell you just as a little side note, I have actually heard that the repeater situation in Maine, believe it or not, actually beats us, although we're We're doing pretty good. But thank you, Gordon. Let's move it along to SEZ. Good to have you. Come join the net.
Hey, Gary. Long time no talk to. N1, SEZ, Paul in Danbury, Connecticut. And it sure is great hearing you in there. I had a question about 6 meters. I've never operated it, but I think Roger mentioned something about, you know, it's a nice small wavelength, but easy to build the antennas. But I was curious as to whether about the polarity on that band and whether it's mode dependent. Can you just throw up a dipole? Horizontally polarized and operate on 6 meters, or most people operating vertically polarized types of antennas on that band, N1 SEZ.
Well, first of all, Paul, it is great to hear you, and you've asked a very interesting question. I was going to talk a little bit about that as we got in a little deeper, but let me give you an example of what we do here, okay, with antenna antenna polarization. I guess how it all works out for us. The that broadcast antenna that we use on the 6 meter repeater is actually horizontally polarized. Now, you normally for FM you're going to be using a vertically polarized antenna. However, this thing works so well, the losses are really negligible. We don't really see a lot of problems with that. So with this particular setup, it's kind of like a nothing burger. When we work locally, when we have that after the net, we're on upper sideband, and we've got a mixed bunch of antennas. We've got guys with dipoles. We've got guys with verticals. We've got guys with the antenna that I use is a multi-band thing. It's a Comet CHV5X, which is kind of like a V-shaped antenna. So I've got a little bit of horizontal, a little bit of vertical polarization on this thing. And everybody's mixed, and it does present some mixed results, you know, when you're talking in a net. But it's been my experience that for the most part, it's all usable. You know, one guy might be a little bit down in the noise, and other people are booming, but everybody's able to participate. Let me buy a nickel. So polarization is a consideration. You know, typically FM, you're going to be vertical. Typically, if you're working SSB or, you know, any of the other modes, you're going to want to be horizontal using a dipole. One thing that I got a Christmas present that's pretty darn cool, okay? And this is a PAR antenna, and it is called the PAR OA50, all right? The PAR OA50. This is an omnidirectional antenna that is supposed to be gangbusters. If you look at the reviews on Eham for this thing, it's got a 5 stars all the way across and across the board with, like, you know, 50 reviews. They're all 5 stars. So I'm going to put this thing up when the weather gets good and see if I can add my 5 stars to it. So I guess the thing I would say is, Paul, if you want to play around with 6 meters, make yourself a simple wire dipole. That's how I started out with it. And just fool around, you know. You'd be surprised. It's probably better than you think. Main thing is just to get on the air and fool around with it. So I'll go back to you for your comments.
Okay, Gary, very good. Well, thanks. You covered it all there, and I just want to, at the danger of repeating myself, say it's great talking to you again. It's been too long, And we're experiencing similar kind of weather here in Danbury today. I just got home from the gym, and it was dark out and 54 degrees. And it's funny how 54 degrees up here feels warm and 54 degrees in Florida, and it feels ice cold. Isn't that strange? Gary, great having you in there, and I'll stop flapping my jaws and let some other people get in here. N1SEZ, back to net.
Hey, great hearing you flap your jaws, Paul. It's great. Yeah, it is. It's something, man. I was sitting here earlier today. I had the window open just to feel some fresh air. It was great. But it all ends tomorrow, so enjoy it while you can. I think we're going to go cold first, and then it's your turn. So batten down the hatches. Well, moving along, EWG is next on the list. Hello there. Come on aboard.
Well, thank you. Good evening to South Cars. We're from La Crosse, Wisconsin, where it's currently 37 degrees and overcast skies. I just wanted to comment there. My first experience on chick meters was I had a Linco DX70T, which was 10 watts only on 6. 100 watts HF, but it was 10 watts only on 6. And I ran that mobile into a 5/8 way 2-meter antenna. It was an MFJ dual band 2 or 6-meter antenna. And I find you can load a 2-meter 5/8 wave into 6 meters without a problem. It works well. And ran that mobile. And more recently, I've got an ICOM 746, and we've been loading 6 meters on either my slinky dipole or a rotatable dipole made out of 2 5/8 waves. And recently we built a rotatable dipole out of crutches, aluminum crutches, when a plan is seen in QST there. So there you go. And also I've been doing some 6 meter DXing on both the JT65 and FT8. KB9EWG, back to net.
Hey, I'll tell you something. I'm happy to be talking to somebody who has a slinky dipole. I used one for a couple of years, and I'll tell you something. That thing worked pretty well for $10 worth of stuff. I mean, you know, it wasn't bad. I used that with my IC735, and I was never without being amazed at what that thing could do. There are times when that kid will do just as good as anything else you can put in the air. So that's nice to hear somebody else using one. I'll tell you, you can, when 6 meters is open, it'll blow your mind. It really will. I don't think, you know, when they call it the magic band, it really is. I mean, I had a similar situation. Back in December, they had an opening to South America, and normally I go east-west pretty well. I can get into Europe decently. North-south, not so much. If I rotate the antenna a little better, but, you know, it's still I'm still better east-west than I am north-south. South America opened up, and it was like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, I was using JT65, and I'm just like one QSO after another, and this is on 6, and I'm doing it with like 35, 40 watts, you know, and it's all solid stuff. So, you know, yeah, it's incredible, especially when you combine 6 meters in the crazy openings you get. With digital modes, you can really do some amazing stuff. So just one more little bit of intrigue from the Magic Band. Thanks for checking in. We move along now to GSN. Hello there, and welcome to the net.
Yeah, thank you very much, South Carson. Welcome me to the group. My call sign is M6GSN. Yes, I'm from London, England. I heard about this going on. I thought, I was just switching through the bands and the groups there, and I thought I heard about talking about 6 meters. I've actually never used 6 meters yet. I've only got 2 meters and 440. Would it be worth spending the money on 6 meters? Well, sound probably would be. I'm just wondering what you guys would think. Back to Nanette.
Well, thank you for finding us, number one. And I believe, I would have to look this up, and I may actually have it in my notes somewhere, but in England, is your 6-meter band a bit different than ours?
Off the top of my head, I don't know, because like I said, I literally just stumbled in here, and these guys are talking about it, so I know it's the 50 meters, but that's all I do know. Like you say, we're going to have to look this up, because be interesting to find out. Back to the net.
All right. I think your frequencies are a bit different than ours. I mean, it's all 50 megahertz, but where we are 50 to 54, I don't quote me, and maybe somebody can give a shout-out on this, but I think you guys are something like 51 to 54 or 52 to 54, something like that. Slightly different allocation, but that's the one thing. But the second thing is it worth working 6 meters? Is it worth getting involved? And I would give you a big, giant yes. Yeah, somebody here in the text box said you have 4 meters in England, and that's maybe what I was thinking of. So you may not have 6 in England. You may just have 4. But of course we don't have 4 here, so, but if you, had the ability to work 6, if you had to make that choice, yes, a great big yes. And especially since most rigs nowadays, most new rigs, most new transceivers have 6 meters built in, it's a shame not to use it because, again, my experience has been that there's just such a 52 megahertz, yeah, 50 to 52 megahertz in the UK. Thank you, GSM. 50 to 52. So you don't have quite the robust playground that we have here. But still, I would definitely encourage you to get involved with it because. Even 50 to 52, you've got a ton of room to experience things with. You've got a ton of room to fool around, and if you're in the U.S., 50 to 54, I mean that's like outer space. You know, it's like you have no limits, and just the band characteristics and the amount of things that you can do on 6. Are just phenomenal. So yes, go for it. I would also recommend that you get on YouTube and look up K7AGE, and he has some videos about getting on 6, and that will let you hear a little bit more about it and see a little bit more about it. Randy's an excellent instructor. We move along to MHL. Thanks for being here and come on aboard. Let's try again. MHL, are you there, sir? Well, maybe an alien abduction of some sort. So if you're there or maybe you're having some troubles, we'll see if you can jump in a little bit later. We'll move it along. RFJ, you've been waiting there with bated breath. So release that breath, sir.
Comment, Gary. 6 week.
Yes, sir. I don't know where everybody went. Come aboard here, sir.
Well, let me tell you what I'm noticing down here. When the Jordan family goes down, they go down together. MHL is Roger's son. That's RJ. And when he checked in with you a little bit ago, he checked in through RFJ's system. Since they're together down there in Maryland. So you called MHL. He wasn't there because RFJ lost his connection. Then you called RFJ, and need I say any more? KY6V. Over.
All these clan check-ins, I got to tell you. Well, hopefully everybody's going to get reconnected at some point, and... we can hear from these guys. Thank you, Gordon. That they cleared up a lot. I was like, I thought we went into a vortex or something. So, now, you know, we had been mentioning, we'll go back and talk a little bit more about six for right now. You know, we were talking about the 4 meter band, the predecessor of 6 meters was the 5 meter band. This was back in the 1950s. Now, once they shuffled things around with the ITU, we ended up with a what we now know as the 6 meter band. But the that 5 meter band was 56 to 64, and that had been around since 1927. So five had been around for some time. We finally get what we know today as our 6 meter band in the 50s with that ITU reallocation. So it's been around for a while, but not quite as long as some of the others. We were talking about 5 meters also. That's 58.5 to 60. That had been around for a little while following World War II in the UK. But the band was interfering with Channel 4 in the UK. And yes, just as we had ascertained earlier, in the UK it's 50 to 52 megahertz. Now, what can you do, or what kind of equipment do you need on 6 meters? I'm going to buy a nickel, and we're going to kind of run through that for a minute. And there may be for those folks who've been in the game for a while, maybe some kind of interesting memories. So we'll buy a nickel. What do you use to get on this band? Okay, well, as I said earlier, all modern transceivers, or most modern transceivers, have 6 meters available now. That's why I say it's a shame not to work it since they're giving it to you. But there's a lot of fun stuff out there that you can do is independent of that transceiver of yours. One of the things that I've got, one of the projects that I've got going here that I still have to get around to, but I'm certainly looking forward to doing, is I have what's called a Benton Harbor lunchbox, which is better known as a Heathkit Sixer. And this is a crystal-controlled 5-watt, 6-meter AM radio. And, you know, people would say, why in this day and age would somebody want to do some sort of a retro thing like that, you know? Well, why do guys fix up classic cars, you know? It's just cool. It's fun to play with this stuff, and I'm going to be rehabbing this Benton Harbor lunchbox, and we're going to be putting it on the air here locally, and for some of our crazy after the net or independent activities here, see what we can do with it. Should be a lot of fun. Also of interest to 6 meter AM people is a thing called a Gonset communicator. Now, these were big in emergency ops, civil defense used them a lot. 6 meters apparently was a staple in the old civil defense network. And Gonset made some phenomenal radios, and they're called Goonie boxes is what they called them. They have the magic eye tube for a signal indicator. They're rather large and very cool looking. So if you can get your hands on one of these and you want to get into Retro 6, this would be very cool. I will tell you, they're different, quite a different beast than what you're used to seeing today, but make the effort to use them. It'd be a lot of fun. Let me buy a nickel. So you've got your choice of modes. You can go retro with these AM rigs. We are playing around with 6 meter digital. You can use digital on any set of frequencies. If you're already set up for digital ops, you're already set up for 6-meter digital ops. If you're not, all you need is a simple interface like a Signalink USB, some sort of software. Personally, I prefer FL Digi. It's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of digital software. It covers just about everything except for JT65 and FT8. And I want to say the latest version of FL Digi will do JT65, but not FT8. I have to remember I've always used a separate software for both, but I do think the latest version of FL Digi does include JT65. But all you really need is the software and an interface. If you're set up for digital, go ahead and just use it on 6. If you download the AWRL frequency allocations, you can see which part of the band is used for digital, and go right ahead. Believe it or not, there's some very active frequencies digitally on 6. I've made lots of contacts on JT65 on 6 meters. So it's got a little something for everybody. Anybody out there want to talk about it or shoot some comments in here or whatever you got? Let's take some check-ins right now as the TIN continues on South Cars.
6 Victor.
6 Victor is recognized. Anybody else want to come aboard in this time?
7 out.
And Kilowatt Alpha 9, Whiskey Delta X-ray.
All right, we've got 3 to go there, and we'll kick it off with 6 Victor. Hello there, sir.
Hey, thanks, Gary. KY6V here. I was just sitting back and reflecting on my thoughts, you know, with the Goonie boxes. That was quite the cat's pajamas back in the days of AM, before FM really got popular and so on. That little rascal was AM only and crystal controlled, and its signature icon was the silver handle on the top of the box. You know, it was a radio, you just grabbed the handle and walked off with it and placed it where you wanted it type thing. And if you're fortunate, you can have a lot of fun in seeing some of them still kicking around from time to time in these tailgates at some of the ham fests. I happen to have communicator, Gonset Communicator 4, which was the newer issue of the Goonie Box series. It was a lower profile radio, wider and more compact. But it was AM also, only. And I turned mine in. It's got its place of perching out here in the garage these days. I turned it into a Mark 15. And when I say Mark 15, I just modified the living pee-waddling out of it. I put an FM circuit in it so that I put a variac in where I could swing the oscillator when the FM boys were starting to get hot to trot. Put a crystal calibrator in it. I souped up the final by running up the screen voltage on it so I could get about 21 or 22 watts out of a 10-watt radio. Thanks for the memories. They wrote a song about that, didn't they? KY6V. Go ahead, Gary.
I believe they did. Hey, that thing sounds wicked. That really does. That's amazing. If you look around, I've risked getting thrown out of the house. I've seen Gonset communicators like on eBay for about $350 that have, you know, they're a nice working order. But non-modified, you know, the Sixer, the Benton Harbor lunchbox that I've got is, of course, AM and crystal controlled. One of the hard things to come about nowadays is crystals. Crystals are very, very hard to find, or, you know, hard to find on any usable frequency. I got lucky. When I was buying the stuff to rehab this kid, I was able to get the proper crystal that I wanted, at least one of them anyway, to get a 50.4 crystal. They're drying up, and they used to be a couple of bucks a piece, and they're like 20 bills now, you know, if you can find them. So, that godset must be awesome, and I don't think it can go wrong. if you're one of those people that you like to get your hands on something from a past time. That has some character to it. These old boat anchors can't be beat. You really can't, you know. So that's another part of this hobby that's so great. You know, you get the cutting edge and all the cool stuff from yesterday too. So thank you, Gordon. We'll move it along to 70. How are you, sir?
Oh, KC2GAN, the South Coast TIN, and 7. Oh, I better do that, Gary, make sure I stay out of trouble. Good evening to you, sir. Boy, this is good information tonight. Good evening to everyone. Well, I have two questions for you, Gary, please. The first one is, between bat openings on 10 meters and 6 meters, I'm wondering about your impression on the signal quality during the band openings between 10 and 6. Now, do you see a particular trend on either band that might lead you to even prefer one over the other or enjoy one over the other from time to time? And question number two, let me reset, my question number two is, can 6 meters close down so tight that and radio control, RC signal, cannot even make it like a quarter of a mile between your handheld RC transmitter and whatever little device you have on the other end? I asked because I heard of a report, I was not present at the time, that on a soccer field in the town, I heard this, that Ham was trying to do RC, and I was on 6 meters, and apparently he felt like on two different nights in an especially dead sunspot cycle that he could not get a signal through to his device, and he did try different batteries. So no, it not sure. So can 6 meters close down so tight that an RC signal cannot make it even a quarter of a mile from your experience? Those are my two questions, Gary. Thanks for fielding them. KC2GA on the TIN, NO70. Over.
How many years have I been calling you 70? One of these days I'm going to remember. To answer your second question first, I've never seen it happen like that. It's not to say that couldn't happen, okay? 6 meters, the magic... And magic 6 meter dust does strange things, and I've seen locally nights where we'll get on sideband or AM, and it's just like boom, and it's just crystal clear, and a couple of us have hi-fi setups. I use a broadcast mic, and I use equalization and limiting on my setup, and it sounds great on sideband, and it sounds even greater on AM. So you've got this these beautiful, almost broadcast quality signals on 6, and they're booming right in. Other times we'll get on the air, and you're just battling the noise floor. So it can get very picky at times. It's unpredictable. So could it get that bad? Yeah, I suppose. I've never seen it that bad, but I suppose it could. So that's question number two. Now, I got blabbing and I didn't write it down. What was question number one? I'm an old man.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. Question number one is, I'm curious just about your personal impressions of 10 meters versus 6 meter band openings. Do you feel like there's a difference in signal quality during the band openings between those two bands? Does a 10 meter band opening usually sound better than a 6 meter band opening, or vice versa? That's the question for you, Gary. And thanks again. KZ2GA in 070. Over.
Well, George, that is a good question. And I, here's one, and again, I'm going by my experience here. So, for whatever it's worth, I have found there's a casual relationship between the propagation that you're getting on 10 and the propagation that you're getting on 6. And I have found that, you know, if something's open on 10, you're likely to have an opening on 6. They can be mutually exclusive. In other words, you can have an opening on 6, but not on 10. But oftentimes, you'll see, you know, some decent opening on both, okay? Now, the quality of that opening, I would venture to say that it's been, again, my experience that when it's good, okay, well, if you've got a good opening, 6 provides the better quality versus 10. 10 tends to be a little fluttery and a little bit noisy, but I would say I'd have to give the quality award to 6, but I would say though that there is a relationship between the two that you know, if you want to go fishing, if one's open, probably the other is doing pretty well too. Does that answer your question, George?
Yes, it does. And after you take some more check-ins, I'll have a third question for you. Thanks, Gary. KC2GA, NL70. Over.
Very good. Thank you, sir. We'll move it along to WDX. Hello there.
Okay. KC2GAK, 9WDX. Hey, good evening to one and all. The only 6-meter equipment I've ever owned was an old Heathkit 6-meter transceiver, a tube type, and it had AM and single sideband and CW. Didn't have FM, but anyway, I did get some use out of it on sideband and CW. Not too many CW contacts, but I did make some on sideband. What I used to do, though, for 6 meters is I used to stick in a couple of FM frequencies in my public service scanner, and if I heard the activity there, it usually was a band opening. Usually meant that it was a band opening. Usually it wasn't a local person that I was hearing. That's why it would give me a clue that, hey, 6 meters is open. Just had a couple of the calling frequencies or whatever in my public service scanner, and that was one way of cluing me in as to that have a band opening going on. I'm trying to figure out what to do with my Yaesu repeater I've got here now. Yaesu DR1XFR repeaters. It transmits PL when it IDs, so I can't have the ID turned on, otherwise it'll go out to the echoing system, and if I shut it off, the PL, then the user PL gets stripped too, and so you won't hear anybody talking from this end, where you set. Anyway, then you wouldn't be able to hear anybody on this end talking, so I actually had to shut the ID off. And right now I'm using the CWID and the echoing software, but that's not going to do me any good when there's somebody talking on the repeater. Once I move the repeater to the site I want to move it to, out at the hospital there, even though the owner's name says, don't Don't install it at a hospital. It might affect the equipment over there. Well, that's probably why I'm going to run 20 watts and not 50, but that's not the only reason. The 50-watt setting is only a 50% duty cycle. When I figure what that goes like, it should be 100%. So I'm going to run it at 20 watts. But you got two-meter equipment set up there, but you have to go there to operate it, and it's in a locked closet, and you got to get the key and all that sort of thing. So I decided, wait, why don't we put a repeater there, and then I can run my Echolink. They don't want to run outgoing connections on their main repeater. Incoming okay for the Aries net, but they don't want outgoing ones on their repeaters. So I thought, well, okay, set up my own then and get it going. So that's what I'm working on anyhow, trying to get Echolink and or IRLP set up on the repeater. The only thing with IRLP, though, I like to use Handyham sometimes, and I think they don't have an IRLP connection, only Echolink. So back to you, Gary, KC2GA, I think it is K9WDX.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, there's a lot of good folks here at South Cars that have some phenomenal experience with repeaters and interfacing to Echolink, and maybe we'll get some people that can throw some answers your way, too. So let's throw that out there for any general comments that people want to check in with that. That Heath kit that you had, let me ask you a question. Was that a Heath kit Cherokee?
I'm not 100% sure. I think there was, though. I remember someone talking about Cherokee. I believe it was a kit. Possibly that Heath kit had handled there. I don't really know. When I got into ham radio the first time was 1986. That's where my call sign came from as a novice. But I was out of ham radio for 12 and a half years, and when I got back into it, it was KC9YZR in 2013. But then when I dropped the fee for the vanity call, I decided to go back to my old call sign, which was available. So back then, though, I wasn't by the QRP kit and then also the main transceiver, main HF rig, you know, to put a couple kits together. I received the very last Heath kit catalog, and I was going to order the thing, and by the time I got the money up for it, I wasn't available. They weren't selling it anymore at that time, so I don't really know for sure, but it sounds feasible or sounds possible, because I think I heard somebody talking about that one time, but I can't tell you 100% for sure, but I'm thinking that yes, but I'm not 100% sure on that. KC2GA, K9WDX.
I think that was the Cherokee. I know Heathkit made a line of transceivers, 2-meter and 6-meter transceivers, and one was the Pawnee, which I think was a 2-meter transceiver, and I believe the Cherokee was 6. They were very cool looking, especially that Cherokee, kind of modernistic looking with that Heathkit forest green. You know, it was really just a neat looking radio, and I guess they worked pretty well. They were pretty rugged piece of equipment, so. They're very cool. Maybe one day, you know, we'll get one in the shack too. I see them every now and then while I'm out there foraging for new stuff to fool around with. We're doing Ask an Elmer tonight on the TIN. We're talking about 6 meters, or have been talking about 6 meters. And I'm going to move along, unless you want to keep talking about 6 meters, go right ahead. But I did want to touch base also on a new digital mode that's out there. I know some folks here have worked PSK31 and JT65, and probably Olivia as well. I'd like to. Olivia's a nice mode, by the way. we could do a digital TIN too. But there's a new one out there that everybody's talking about. And I don't know, maybe if you've heard of it or not, but if you're into digital, everybody's talking about FT8. Let me buy a nickel, and we'll talk a little bit about FT8. This is KC2GA, and if you like JT65, you're going to love FT8. It's way faster. It's like JT65 on steroids. Okay, you'll need some software, special software for it. You need the WSJT-X software. But if you already have digital hardware, you know, if you have an interface, and your cabling, you're all set. That's all you need. Now, what's the deal with it? And I just see, here's EWG saying he's very active on FT8. Isn't it a great mode? If you're used to JT65, and let me just speak very briefly about JT65, you can go a very long distance on very low power, and it'll surprise you. It really will. It is one of those modes that you'll be decoding signals even though you can't hear them, which is kind of weird to get used to. You know, you've got the frequency tuned in, you're not hearing anything, but signals are coming up on the waterfall, and you're like, really? So that's one of the characteristics of a digital mode, all right? You've got stuff that's way down on the noise floor, yet it's a usable signal, okay? JT65 is phenomenal for that, and that's what's made it very popular. Problem with JT65 is that it takes you forever to do a QSO. I think a complete cycle of contacts for a JT65 QSO probably runs you about 3 minutes or so. With FT8, it's about 45 seconds. So big difference. It's almost as sensitive as JT65. Not quite, almost. But it has that advantage of being able to get through it really quickly. A lot of people like that. So, you know, you can do a ton of QSOs in the time that you normally would have allocated to one. It's very interesting, and it's really catching on. I know if you look in the amateur radio publications, you see a lot of talk about it. Let's throw it out there. I know that some people have tried it already. Have you tried? All right, it looks like I bought the golden crystal there. All right, timed out. So we'll take some check-ins right now. Have you tried either JT65 or FT8 or any other digital mode? Let us hear about it as we take check-ins right now on the TIN.
Echo Whiskey Golf.
Station calling, you were kind of breaking up. Try again.
Oh, yeah? Okay, let's try that again. Echo Whiskey Golf.
All right, we have Echo Whiskey Golf. Anybody else want to jump in?
NO70 with a question on the previous topic. NO70.
All right, there's a couple. Let's go with Echo Whiskey Golf.
Okay, Gary. Well, as I indicated in the text box, I am fairly active on FT8, and I used to be fairly active on JT65 before FT8 came along. Of course, with the speed of FT8, I've made the switch over, and I've been active on FT8. During your 6-meter contact discussion, I was looking through my log, and I found an FT8 contact with Spain from Wisconsin on FT8 on 6 meters here. So I said, I'm very active. In fact, one of my most coveted QSL cards is from Gordon West, WB6NOA. I was his very first FT8 contact. KV9EWG back to net.
Oh, man, you hit a home run. That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. That's very cool. I will tell you, I really like FT8. I do not like WSJT software. I'm not a big fan of it. It seems a little bit flaky. I mean, it works, but you're always kind of like biting your nails while you're running it, you know. Other than that, you know, it's an excellent mode, and it's exciting to see what you can do, how far you can go. I mean, Wisconsin, is just, you went to Spain from Wisconsin. That's a nice trip, you know. I'm amazed every time I'm sitting here, you know. We're a little closer to Europe on this side of things, you know, over here, but still, you know, I'm going deep into Europe. I'm getting into Eastern Europe, into Ukraine, into Russia, pretty regularly. Northern Europe, pretty regularly. Spain's actually kind of easy for me. I don't know why. England's tough, but Spain's easy. I don't know why. But it's remarkable what you can do with so little power. How much? What do you run for wattage?
Well, I'm entirely on compromised antennas. I'm an apartment dweller, and I've been running between 25 and 50 watts on FT8. That Spain contact, by the way, was on 6 meters. That was on 6. If you look at my website, kevewg.braysites.com, there's a big list of awards I've earned on digital modes and everything else there. And right now I'm at 106 countries worked, I believe it is, and 80 confirmed on OTW. Working on my first DXTC, and and Suriname was my latest DXTC work there. KB9EWG.net.
Hey, good for you. You're racking them right up there. That's great. Yeah, I typically run about 40 watts, between 25 and 40 watts. I think the most I've ever done for any DX on either JT65 or FT8 was 50 watts. I used that I do have two QSOs with Japan, which are my prize ones, and I think I cranked it up to 50 for that. But typically 25 to 40, so that's about what I run it to. Well, thank you for checking in. We go to NO70, and George, hello there.
Well, hello again, Gary. The question I have, if I may go back to when you were talking about the different band plans, I want to ask about 6-meter beacons. Your experience with those, have you spent much time listening to them? And is there a particular format to the beacon packet that's being transmitted that tends to be conventional on the band? Thanks, Gary. KC2GA, NO70.
Well, that's a good question. You're asking good questions tonight, George. I don't have a lot of experience with the beacons, okay, other than I'll occasionally check in, you know, just to see what I can hear. I know there's folks locally that have a lot more experience with beacons than I do. If you're not familiar with the beacon network, there is a worldwide beacon network, okay, there's a lot of different places you can look, even online, to see a beacon map here domestically or North America anyway, and you can tell there's a sequence in the signals, and they vary in signal strength as you go through the sequence, and by that you can judge band conditions. Actually, what I do, I'm lazy, so I'll go online and I'll just check, you know, like PSK Reporter and see what's out, you know, what's happening on that. So, as a matter of fact, that's how I judge propagation. For myself, what I'll do is I'll call CQ for a while, you know, usually start out doing something digitally. I'll do CQ, and then I'll go on PSK Reporter and see where I'm hitting. I get a pretty good idea of what the band's going to be like, and I'll either go and get coffee or I'll stay there with that. So that's my technique. I know there's a lot of people that still are kind of tied into the Beacon and the Beacon network and assessing that, but I'll admit to all listening that I'm a bit lazy. What do you think, George?
Well, I believe you answered my question, and I appreciate the feedback on it. Thank you, Gary. KCTGA in the PIN, NR7.
And if you're not familiar, with what I was just talking about, for folks that may be new to digital modes or maybe are into digital modes but maybe have not heard of this, there's a website, and there's a couple of them actually, but the one I use is PSK, Paul Sam Kelvin, Reporter, PSK Reporter, what that will do is you can get signal reports worldwide from different listeners that will put it on a map, and you get a very good idea of what your signal's doing at any given time. So it's like a DX cluster type of a thing, but it's a little more specific to you. You'd be amazed at where your signal's actually going. If you've never operated that way, it's kind of an interesting way to see how you're doing. I make antenna adjustments that way too. I can see how I'm radiating, do I need to go a little bit more east-west? Do I need to go a little bit more north-south, So if I'm going for something specific, I can rotate that antenna and really see how my coverage is doing. So that's what I was mentioning there was all about, about PSK reporting. Okay, we've covered 6 meters. We've covered a little bit about digital modes. And what do you say we open it up right now for general checking in and or questions and see if we can get them answered for you. We'll go to this segment of Asking Elmer and open it up for kind of a free-for-all. So we'll take check-ins right now as the TIN continues on South Cars. Well, we must have covered it all. Okay. Let me just see what we've got here, and then we'll maybe do last call to breakfast. I don't know. We did JT65, and we did FT8. Let's say, I was talking a while ago about, how we do enhanced audio here on the local nets. We use, better quality mics. We use EQ. We use, sometimes I use a peak limiter. We kind of give it a polished sound. But the one thing, I think if you want to make yourself sound a little better on the air, you got to start with the microphone. And you don't have to spend a lot of money on a good sounding mic on the air, okay? Everybody's got their favorites. I've got a broadcast mic that I use. It's called an MXL BCD1, which is actually it's not really a clone, but it's very very similar to the Electro Voice RE20, which is basically the standard of the broadcast industry. But it's about half the price. So it's great sounding mic, and looks cool, sounds great. But I did want to pass along, and this is not a product endorsement by any means, but I've been seeing a lot of positive reviews on the Vibraplex, you know, the people that make the keys. Vibraplex actually has a line of microphones out now called INRAD, I-N-R-A-D, that is receiving rave reviews. They are getting very good reviews from a lot of people, and they don't cost a lot of money. I don't think the maximum price on one of these is like $79.89, and you get to sound awesome right off the bat for just a few pennies, you know. So you don't have to spend $300 on a mic for amateur radio. You can get a real nice one for $79. But I did want to pass that along because I've been seeing a lot of good stuff on them, and I just figured we'll just throw that out there for what it's worth, too. All right. Any more checking?
Yeah, okay. Kilo Alpha 9 Whiskey Delta X-ray, recheck.
Okay, we'll pick up the recheck from WDX. Come on aboard.
Yeah, okay. I just turned the volume down. I needed the repeater and my other transceiver here, so hopefully you won't get the echo anymore. Anyway, I was just thinking of what I should get for an interface for my Yaesu repeater. I was looking at the Shark RF open spots. I'm trying to think of whether to put something at the repeater site too, or here at home and then transmit through the repeater using one of my transceivers at home. But then I figure, well, how do they hear me when I'm talking? Well, anyway, Shark, I wonder if anybody has an opinion on that. What would be a better interface? Shark RF open spot, or EV Mega or Mini or something, or just wondering if there's any opinions on that. I'm trying to decide what to get. I either want to get some sort of echo-like interface for it, which may also include, you know, like say a D-Star interface or something. It wouldn't have to, though. At least echo-link. I was actually looking at the RLP one there, too. I'm trying to decide what to put on the repeater, but I was thinking, though, if I go IRLP, then I still need something for echoic if I want to go on Handyham, because I don't think they have IRLP access, but I might be wrong about that. And is there something called a DV Mini or DV something or other? Looking at so many different interfaces, I can't keep them all straight in my head. I should have written them down. I noticed the one that's a standalone unit, another one, a little antenna on it, another one you plug into the USB port of your computer, and I'm just trying to decide what I should get for the either the repeater or at home here, and going through the repeater from home here. So I don't know if anybody has an opinion on that or not. KC2GA, KNIWDX.
Well, you have advanced a subject here that I certainly was wrestling with a couple months ago. I'll give you a little background on what happened to me. I found this DMR handheld that it was like $89, and I'm like, you know, $89 for a DMR radio. You know, they had a little 2-inch color screen on it, and TYT. It was a TYT, so a Chinese radio, I'm saying, yeah, you know, for $89, let's go for this thing. Now, I didn't know anything about DMR. I mean, nothing about DMR. I know a guy that knows quite a bit about it, that he's an emergency coordinator for one of the counties adjacent to our county. So I'm saying, well, Mike, what do you, you know, blah, 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 what do I need? And he's like, oh, you get the Shark RF, you know, so that's what we all use. So I'm saying, all right, we'll get the Shark RF, blah, blah, blah. The only problem was that I had bought a VHF DMR radio, and apparently Shark RF at this time only makes a UHF version. Okay, I guess there is a VHF version in the works. They're planning for it, but at the time that I last looked, which was back in December, all you could get was UHF. So I said, well, I'm not going to wait around for these guys forever. I gave the radio away to a buddy of mine, and you know, we'll visit this in at another time. But let's throw that out to the listening audience and see if anybody has any recommendations. What do you like for a digital interface for like a DMR radio? Shark RF or the DV radio, the DV dongle. I think there's you have some more software involved with the DV dongle, but the Shark RF is all self-contained. It's an all-in-one thing. Do you have any experience with it, and do you have any recommendations? We'll throw that question out right now. Anybody who cares to check in and respond. Well, nothing heard. So I guess we don't have any recommendations, but I will tell you that if you want to go with the Shark RF, it does come highly recommended, but at this point, the only radios to work with are UHF. Is that at all helpful?
Yeah, okay, sounds good, and I could go on UHF, and I could use my one transceiver here to cross-band repeat. I don't know if that would work. Cross-band repeat between the 440 side and the 2-meter side. I actually do have a 440 repeater too, though. I have a Bridgecom BCR40U. The only thing is I don't have any place to put it yet. The only reason why I got the Ciezu one is because, well, for one thing, it was on sale for $400. If you're either a club, or if you're applying as a club, or if you're an individual with an active coordination going on, which I do have for 440 anyway. And although it was in my old call sign, KC9YZR, they haven't updated it on the website yet with my new call sign, which was my old call sign in a way. But I could go to that, but I don't have an antenna on a tower anywhere for the 440 side. I was tempted to try that at the telephone company or something, find out how much it would cost to put up the antenna and put a feed line up there and put my 440 repeater online, because that Bridgecom works ideally with Echolink, because you don't have to do any modification at all. You can leave the PL turned on transmit, and when that Bridgecom repeater IDs, when it's IDing, it's not transmitting PL. Yet it will allow the user's PL to pass through and the user is talking. So that works ideally for Echolink without doing any rewiring or anything like that. But this Ciezu repeater, I'm going to reset. This Ciezu repeater, though, when you have the PL turned on transmit, it will transmit PL while it's IDing, and that's no good on Echolink. And if you shut the PL off on transmit, so that part works, and the ID transmits without PL, it also strips the PL from the user when he's talking, so then you wouldn't hear me trying to talk to the repeater, so I had to do some rewiring or something. Somebody mentioned about, you know, use pin 9, pull the audio off of pin 9 or something off the accessory jack, and I don't know what the would be the other connection, ground or whatever, but I was thinking, it's got an internal speaker, but there's no external speaker jack. I think I could maybe try pulling the audio off of the speaker on the receiver, something on that order, and then the transmitter wouldn't get the PL coming through from the ID, but oh well. I'll come up with something. I've actually kind of been battling with this for quite a long time. Some people are probably getting tired of hearing it. I still can't make a decision, though. There's so many different ones, and some have advantages one way and disadvantages the other way, and so it's been a hard decision, though. I guess I'll just have to try it and see what happens. KC2GA, KE9WDX.
That's the spirit. Just flip a coin, see what happens, you know? The worst that could happen is it blows up. Nah, just dive right in there and go for it. That's all. Hey, I see that RFJ has returned from his adventures in the East. So let's see if we can raise the old raccoon here and see if we can get him to check in. Roger, are you there?
Gary, I'm doing finer than a frog's hair. And everybody that knows me and knows that frogs has hair, that's how fine it is. But, hey, listen, we just finished spending a lot of JR's money so we can put some antennas on his house. So that's been our mission, and I'm sorry we had to bow out so quickly. But are we still talking about 6 meters, or did we change subjects here, or can you give me a heads up on that?
Well, we did change briefly to some digital modes, but we can always go back to 6 meters, for gosh sakes. I could do all night on 6 meters. That's fine.
Okay, well, you know, it's one of my favorite bands, too, and I can tell you, you know, Paul, I don't even know if Paul's still in here. I didn't even really have a chance to scan the list, but Paul had mentioned something that is definitely a big issue. I know if you have co-phased antennas, it seems like you've worked past those issues, but, you know, vertically polarized and horizontally polarized, and I think the big rule has always been, if you're operating single sideband, you do horizontal. If you're operating FM, you do vertical. However, those two don't really mix unless you're co-phasing your antennas to do both vertical and horizontal, kind of like the satellites do right-hand circular polarization and left-hand circular polarization. They won't meet to work together unless you co-phase them, unless, in other words, you're getting half the signal across both phases. But anyway, long story short, we had a repeater in Philadelphia that had the most awesome coverage just on that 6 meter repeater, and to this day it has it's been non-functional for about 15-20 years. But when I first moved into this area, I was doing mostly 6 meters because it was good everywhere I went. But anyway, pass it back over to you, Gary. JR's driving right now. I may key up the mic and let him say hi if you want him to check in, but you know, he might scare off the customers. Over.
Well, he's certainly welcome to check in. That's for sure. So key him up, let him check in.
This is KB4MHL. Yeah, I wasn't concentrating on driving. I was concentrating on getting the tears out of my eyes after how much I spent. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anytime.
Other than that, that's basically it. Trying to get some antennas put on my new house, so really contemplating life on that. I'll pass it back over to you, Gary.
Well, head north, and I need some antennas put on this house, too. hey, you know, I want to tell you about that, though. You talk about phasing these antennas. One of the guys locally here that we work with on a regular basis, one of the antenna solutions that he uses is a pair of phased squalos that really works pretty well. That's been one good solution for the mixed polarizations that we encounter, you know, that everybody's got something different. And yeah, Roger, you're right. Normally, for FM, you're using a vertical antenna. For everything other than FM, you're using a horizontally polarized antenna. What's unique about our area here, because it's a, for the repeater, that is a broadcast antenna, and it's horizontally polarized. It is such a good antenna. The thing sits on a, I don't know how tall that tower is, but it's gigantic, and it's up about 2,000 feet on a hill anyway. So you've got this enormous signal. So anything that you lose is not a big deal with this thing, and it just goes. It just goes forever. I would imagine this is very much like your repeater was in Philly, you just got this monster 6 meter repeater, and you know, it just the nice thing is, well, ours is very much used, and it's a sad thing to hear that thing isn't, because it's just that's just a shame. But the one thing, and I don't know if you heard me talking about it earlier, Roger, I've got this PAR 0850. And if you look up this thing on EHAM, this is supposed to blow people's minds for a 6-meter antenna. So I'm dying to get this thing up in the air in the spring. So I think we covered it all. Anything else, Rod?
Yeah, I'd like to add that I had a 6-meter link. If Gordon will probably verify this. And when I was working over in New Jersey, I used to report in as W4RFJ dash, what was it, 2.5. I think it was 2.5 when I got on top of the bridge. But that was a 6-meter simplex link that I operated out of the house for the longest time. Over.
No kidding. Very cool. Very cool. You know, what it is about, I don't know, seems that 6-meter people, you know, if you're a 6-meter person, you kind of like to dabble in cool stuff. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? They kind of get their hands in a lot of different things. So it's pretty cool. I guess that's another benefit of working in six. It kind of warps your mind and you get into different things. Thank you, Roger. Anybody else want to come in before we give last call? Nope. Okay. Well, I got to tell you, this has been fun, and it's been great talking to some old friends, and it's been great hearing some new voices, and really look forward to doing this again. Asking Elmer is always fun, and I got to tell you, this has been a particularly good one. So I want to thank everybody who participated tonight, that's for sure. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPnet schedules and general information may be found on the SouthCars.com website. That's scars.com website. Your net control for the session has been me, KC2GA, saying 7-3 and closing this VoIP session. Thank you for your participation. This net is closed.
KC2GA, W4RFJ, you still there, shipmate?
Indeed I am, sir.
Well, you know, I apologize for having to do my fatherly duties and not being there throughout the whole net, but I just want to pass along a Bravo Zulu and let you know I appreciate you being there, and you got to get in here more often, shipmate. W4RFJ, over to you, sir.
Well, thank you very much, first of all. I really appreciate that. And yeah, I will. Actually, things have gotten a little less busy for me lately. So I've got a little more time to devote to stuff like this. So this is good. Yeah. So I think you'll be hearing a little bit more of me. That's for sure. Fatherly duties always take precedence over anything. Do not apologize for that, because that's your job, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, payback is heck. I'm just showing him how easy it is for me to spend his money. So, yeah, he's going to be a lot happier. He's got some D-Star equipment he wants to get hooked up, and he wants to start using the local machines, and that's going to be a good thing. We're also working on putting together a hotspot for him so that we can keep in touch that way. And I've been making a lot of strides in some of the projects I've been working on, but, you know, that's for another day. And, hey, you know, you could get us up there. You know, you could get us up there if we plan ahead and, you know, send us some pictures of what you, or some thoughts on what you want to do, how you want to hook it up, and I'll be able to figure out for myself whether I'd be able to physically do it. But, you know, the only issue we have with my son is it would have to be a weekend project or when he can get some time off, which is rarely. But, you know, we could work something out. I'm sure we could have a South Cars, what's that word I'm looking for? Swoop in, get your stuff on the air, and swoop out so fast it'd make your head spin there, Gary.
Well, the deal is we have to spend his money to do it. I'll tell you what. Right now, we've been making some huge progress in renovating this house. We've got, we're about 60% there right now. One of the things that's going to come to fruition this summer is my brand new, gigantic, new and improved and totally wonderful ham shack and music studio. It's right now holding all the rest of the crud that we had to throw into a, you know, from the rest of the house while we're tearing that stuff out and rebuilding things. So when we get around to that, we'll have the ham shack set up, and who knows, maybe we'll be sending out an SOS at that time.
All right, well, keep us in the loop there, Gary. You know, we've been paying visits to our friend the sheriff of Nottingham. As a matter of fact, this coming up Sunday, I'll be going down to visit him. Right now, we're in Snow Hill, Maryland, and I'm going to have to get out of here pretty shortly, so I'll pass along the good numbers. If Paul's still around, if he wants to talk about that vertical horizontal thing, I'll be glad to give him some information. I can give him reams of information. But anyway, Gary, great job. Thanks for being there. And I'm going to be out of here for a little bit. W4RFJ with KB4MHL 73.
Hey, great to talk to you. Great to hear you. And you just have yourself a great rest of the week. We'll say 73 to you. KC2GA clear.
NO70 with comments from both you guys, Chief and Gary. NO70, over.
2GA, go right ahead.
Thank you, Gary and Chief. I wanted to ask pretty please for both of you guys' help for next month's TIN. More information to follow. And Chief, I think I know why things were so expensive. You went to Snow Hill, North Carolina instead of Snow Hill, Maryland to buy that stuff. Okay, thanks, guys. And I'll be more in touch as time gets closer. And I'm looking forward to Bernie checking in with us during the net to K9WZX. So, Chief, that's good news. Looking forward to you Sunday. W4FJ with KC2GA, NO70, over.
2GA, we'll be listening for details to come.
Yeah, and as far as going to Snow Hill, North Carolina, let's just put it this way. The entertainment's going to start when we go inside and his better half finds out how much money he spent. I'm sorry. Anyway, let me jump out of here. JR and I are scoping some things out. W4RFJ.
Thanks, guys. NO70 clear.